Out with the old, in with the new. A new year, new you. Wow, I cannot believe that this will be the last podcast for 2016. If you're like me, I'm looking back in 2016 and looking at everything that has happened to me. Did I achieve everything that I anticipated would happen to me, for me, this 2016? A lot happened. A lot that I had planned, a lot of my goals that I couldn't even imagine happening, happened. But guess what? There were a lot of other things that I wanted to do, and I'm looking back and wondering, what happened? How come I didn't do that? How come this didn't happen to me? And a lot of people have said, you know what? 2016 was probably one of the most difficult years that they have had. I know it was for me. Like most of you, I have lost friends, family that died this year. I have lost family that had to move away. I moved away from my family. So a lot did happen. You know, illnesses, my own illness, family illness, as well as, you know, good things that happened. So I shouldn't, you know, just look at the bad things. But I also got an opportunity to move to Orlando, Florida, which I have been talking about, you know, all the time for all these years. I've wanted to come back to Florida. So a lot of things happened. But what I want you to do as we start this show, a new you, a new year, let me just ask you to do something.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
Imagine that you're standing in the center court of a basketball court, and you're trying to make a free throw. So it would require you to close your eyes and pretend like you're looking at the basket and you're trying to make a shot. The shot clearly determines your ability to move forward in life. It impacts how successful you will be beyond that very moment that you make that shot. If you do not have a clear focus on your aim, it is going to be impossible for you to make that shot. If you do have a focused aim, it is likely that you'll hit nothing but the net. It's going to go in. Your life and its successes is the distinct efforts in your ability to focus and have good aim. The focus being your clearly defined plans for 2017 that you set forth as of this moment that you'll be listening to this podcast. The good aim being your capacity to take action as precisely as possible. The form that you use, the workout, the focus that you use is all up to you. How much effort are you going to put into preparing for 2017 so that you can get your goals, your inspirations, aspirations that you have, that they can come true this 2017. I'll tell you something. I got to really sit down with myself and I thought, for today, let me not even have a guest. Let me have an honest talk with my audience as well as myself. What held me back in 2016? Why is it that I didn't get everything that I wanted to do? And what gave me cold feet is what I was asking myself. Guess what? I realized that my desire to make the necessary changes or the successes that I wanted to make this 2017 was probably not as big as my fears were of how things were not going to work out the right way or how I wasn't well equipped to do things. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know a lot of people that I work with say, oh, you're very confident and, you know, things seem like, no. There are things that I could have done. There are things that I know I shouldn't be here in my career, in my business, because I should be doing better and I should know better. So what held me back are my fears. And what I've decided to do on this show is to talk more about fears. What are they? How do we get over them? And how can we get into 2017? The biggest thing is recognizing them. And I'm so excited because, you know, just like, you know, when we do Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, the meetings, they always say the first thing is acknowledging that you are alcoholic. So the first thing that I am urging you to do, just like I am doing myself, is to acknowledge that fear held me back and has held me back, and it's time to go beyond my fears. So this 2017, your desire to make changes in your life has to be greater than your fears. This 2017, your desire to make the necessary changes that you need to make in your life has to be greater than your fears. Let's talk about fears. Did you know that there are 8 core human fears that we all feel, and everybody has experienced it at one time or another in their life? Let me go through and have a discussion a little bit about those fears, because guess what? When you know better, you do better. When you are aware of what's going on within you, you have much more control of working through those weaknesses or those things that get in the way of you doing what it is that you need to do in your life. So let's talk about the 8 core human fears. And then after that, I hope I'll have enough time. I would like to talk about the 16 things that you can do. So out of those 16 things, you can pick one that will help you to get over your fears. The first of the 8 core human fears is the fear of failure. There is no success without failure. And we get told this over and over again. People who achieve the most have truly failed the most. So you are going to have to be okay with failure. When you fall down, you have to just dust yourself, pick yourself up, get back up, and go at it again. You have to leave your comfort zone, because if you don't try, nothing will be done and no change will come your way. So if it's something that you truly wish to do and you want to achieve and you've been trying to do and it hasn't worked, then take the risk and try another way of doing it. But you cannot just sit back and say, you know what, I wish I could. That is a fear of failure if you continuously say those things. The fear of success is another fear. I didn't know. I was researching this and I was trying to figure out what is fear and what am I afraid of? A confident person like myself, what could I be afraid of? And that's when I came across, you know, these fears. The fear of success. It was surprising to me to know about this, and it will be surprising to a lot of people as well, because you're thinking, I'm not afraid of success. I want success. I want to be successful financially. I want to be successful. I want to be successful with my family. I want to be successful in my business. Of course, I'm not fearful of that. I want all these things. Why would I be afraid of it? Well, guess what? I say the same thing and I continue to say the same thing, but there's a subconscious fear that stays in your subconscious mind. This fear of what if it does happen? What if it gets to be too much? What if I have to put in more work than I'm doing? Well, that's part of success, right? And if it happens, that's exactly what I've been asking for. And what I have to do is just to step out there and do what I need to do. The fear of rejection is another fear that could have held you back so far in this 2016. and you don't want to take that fear into 2017. The fear of rejection is that fear that prevents us from asking for what we want. It is the fear that leads a lot of people to take conscious, you know, they hesitate to talk to people. They hesitate to ask for what it is that they need, because what if I'm told no, and what if I don't get this? That one I have mastered. I know to ask. If it's a no, I would rather deal with a no than a knowing of knowing that I didn't ask, and I never know whether I was going to get a yes or a no. The other fear, which is fear number four of the human core fears, is the fear of not being good enough. At first, when I read about this, I was thinking, teenagers are usually when, you know, people are young, they deal with this one a lot. I'm not good enough. People don't like me. I don't think, you know, people think highly of me. And some even get into fights because you don't like me and you don't think that I'm good enough. And they get into fighting with that. So I didn't think as adults that people would still feel inferior and still think maybe I'm not good enough. You'll be amazed, because I work in a private practice where I am a psychotherapist. And how many adults that come and sit in that chair and talk about not feeling good enough. So this is a real fear that I think all of us have felt this one moment or another, or at one time or another. So when we think of incredibly successful people, for example, like the top CEOs, top athletes, the president, the senators, we always assume that they couldn't possibly have any self-esteem issues. They couldn't even think that they're not good enough because they have those higher places, or they have so much money, or they look more confident. That is wrong. The fear of not being good enough is probably one fear that most people will feel at one time or another. And when you go really deep, you often fear that you're not good enough, that you probably are an imposter child, or that, you know, people might see that you're not good enough only because you don't believe in yourself. So they also call it the imposter syndrome, actually, for the fear of not being good enough, which is the feeling that somebody is going to find out that I'm not truly smart and don't really have a clue what I'm talking about. And everyone gets this feeling for some reason when they are starting to do something that is brand new, that they're starting to market themselves and wanting people to see. A lot of people will feel this, you know, imposter syndrome, that they might not be good enough. And yet it's just a fear. It's just another fear. The fear of scarcity, which is the fear of lack. I think this can be especially a damaging fear, because I believe that what you put out in the world is what the world will give back to you. We get from life not what we want, but who we are. Remember that the most billionaires that have abundant money, you know, at some point, even with all that money that they have, they feel fearful that maybe I'm not going to have enough. Maybe it will all go away. What if I lose everything? And yet I'm so used to having all this money. What if it all goes away? It's truly something that, you know, you can't fathom, a person that has money, that is rich, thinking about that. But it's actually one of those eight human core feelings that are felt quite frequently by almost everybody. Number six is the fear of being alone. And this one here was amazing to me, because even the couples that I have worked with literally reported that they felt like they were alone, even though they are in a relationship. That they felt as if the other partner was there, but not really there for them, which is quite interesting. because it is a feeling that is real, that they really truly feel alone. I also talk about the people that feel depressed, that have depression or anxiety. Those people report that they feel alone, and that fear of being alone gets them into further depression and further isolation and further sadness. But it's a real feeling. So instead of filling up our lives from the inside, most people try to fill up their lives from the outside. They're not really comfortable hanging, you know, with other people. And they're not comfortable hanging with themselves. And people will feel that fear of being alone. I have felt it. It's a normal fear that people will feel. But I think with all these fears that we're talking about, they become a problem when they are the blocks that are preventing you from doing what you need to do in your life to make the changes that you need to make in your life in order for you to see different results. Number 7, because we're talking about the 8 core fears. Number 7 is the fear of losing control. The fear of losing control. So many of us want to be in control. I mean, a lot of people want to be the one that is in control. Well, fine and dandy. You want to be in control of your life. But whether it has to do with the children, with the spouse, at work, everyone wants to be the person that makes all the decisions, that is in control of their own decisions. But it doesn't work that way, right? All the time. We have to understand that there are places, a time and place for one to be in control. I think the control is one that if you're a person that has been trying to run a business, I'll say that because I run a couple businesses myself. The fear of losing control, whether it's to subordinates or to clients or to colleagues, is actually a fear that will hinder your business from growing. Because guess what? I've realized now that as much as I know about what my vision is, what my goals are, I don't have the expertise to work through every aspect of my businesses in order for my businesses to be successful. I had to relinquish parts of what makes my business successful and what makes me the psychotherapist, the motivational speaker, the trainer that I am, the presenter, radio, television presenter that I am, to make it work for me. I have to allow other people that know the other parts and pieces that I need to put together without fear that they will mess it up or they'll take over. Because at the end of the day, if I do it right and ask them to take their positions and do what they need to do, we will have one focus and one vision and one mission, and everything goes well. I know with that one that I had to do that because I don't have it all, neither do I know it all. Are you one of those people that probably are afraid to lose control of what you know, of what you started, or maybe in a relationship that you want to be the one that's in control? And yet we call it a relationship because it's two people that are in a relationship. Are you one that wants to take over, or you want things done your way and your way only, and not put into consideration what the other half wants or the other part wants? So it's actually a two-way street. Some days you win and some days you lose the control. Sometimes you're in control and sometimes you're not in control. Number 8 is the fear of being different or standing out. This can be a very serious fear, because it often causes us to put on a social mask so we don't live our truth, so people don't see the true us, the real us. With this one here, we're not authentic. We don't live as we truly are. We sometimes become an accountant or a doctor because our parents wanted us to be an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor. We marry a particular person because we think this is who society, our parents, our families expect us to be with if we want to be successful or appear to be successful. We don't really love this person. It is just what we think is expected of us. There's a deeper part of us that is saying, but this is not what I want, or this is not who I want to be with. There's that deeper part that just whispers there, and it's not comfortable being in that place where you are. It's not comfortable being with who you are with or doing what it is that you're doing. Something is not right. You know how you just feel like, why is it that it just doesn't feel right? Well, guess what? This fear of being different, or a fear of being different or standing out, it can cause us to commit the number one crime a human being can commit: self-betrayal. Be yourself, pursue your dreams, live your philosophy and your values. This is what is going to get you happy. What is it that makes you happy? What is it when you do or when you think about it frees you? You are free. Your soul is free. Your life is free. You feel so comfortable. You laugh. You love what you're doing. Whatever that is, do whatever you can to lose the fear of what others think. I think this is exactly what Shakespeare meant when he wrote, "To thine own self be true."
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
I can't tell you how exciting it is for me to live my authentic true self, and that is living in Orlando, Florida. I have loved being in the Sunshine State for as long as I knew how, and for the last 10 years I was living in Boston with my family. But I was so afraid that my family wanted us all together, and I have brothers and sisters there, and my parents said, well, you know, you can't go all the way to Florida because you'll be by yourself there, and you know, you won't have anyone there, because, you know, of course I understand that, because I'm single and I don't have family, so they were afraid that I'll be by myself. But my heart told me, no, you won't be by yourself, because you're easy to make friends. You'll start making friends there, and you have a business, and you'll have people that you'll see in your office, but it won't be lonely, because that's the place where your heart is. And guess what? It has not been lonely. Not one second have I felt lonely. But I know my heart, my soul, my spirit is free. To thine own self be true. Those are the 8 core human fears. The fear of failure, the fear of success, the fear of rejection, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of scarcity, the fear of being alone, the fear of losing control, and the fear of being different or standing out. One of those fears, 2 of those fears, or maybe all of those fears have held you back to be afraid to do what it is that you want to do with your life, to go with your heart. Whatever decision that you have to make, to go with your heart. Now, let's talk about those 17 tools that can help you face and combat these fears. Why did I make them 17? Because I do things like that. It's 2017. So I figured if I give you a gift bag of tools with 17 ways that you can pick and choose to combat your fears and live a great life this 2017 and achieve your goals, why not? Why not? Here at America Out Loud, we talk about living your life out loud. And you know what? I truly believe that. On the Dr. Stem Show, we bring you motivation, inspiration, education, empowerment, so that you can live your life out loud. So, now that we've talked about the core human fears, let's see how many of these 17 will work for you. And remember, you always have a choice, because these are simple ways to address your fears, to confront your fears, to run towards them and laugh at them and say, you know what? I made the decision. I took a risk. I went with my heart. I did what I wanted to do, so that next year this time we will be talking about the joys of overcoming your fears. So here we go. The number one, be aware of your fears. You can rewind, you can listen to this podcast, you can download it and hear those 8 core human fears so that you can determine which ones are applicable to you. I think it is also important for you to hang out with your fears and get to know them, because fear becomes smaller and smaller when you decide that, you know what, I got you, I know you. When you think about them, write about them, talk about them and denounce them, they become very small and guess what? Irrelevant. Number two, validate your fears. So don't pretend that they're not there, that you don't have fears. Don't push them down, because to heal your fears, you must feel your fears. To heal them, you have to acknowledge them, you have to know them, and you have to feel them. So don't run from them. Sit in the space of your fears. Notice the reaction they cause your body. Do you get tight? Does your chest get a knot? Do you get a knot in your stomach? Do you get defensive? Do you get sweaty? Do you just become avoiding? Do you, you know, have this avoidance behavior that you do to just avoid it? Validate them. What happens when you're feeling fearful? Look at the dragon, acknowledge it, and validate it, that I see you fear. Oops, this must be my fear. Number three, correspond with your fears. In counseling and therapy, we talk a lot and encourage a lot the people that come up to write journals. I also write my journal. Writing is cathartic. There's something about writing a letter to your fears, about your emotional responses, about what you feel. I even wrote letters to my fears this year where I said, you know what, enough. You've taken enough of what it is that I love. It has taken me way too long to get to the place where I want to get to. So no more. So pull out your journal and start writing. What if the fear is stolen from you? What if this fear is done to you? And sometimes those fears maybe have allowed you to even gain more courage and strength to do things that you never thought that you could do. So if you find yourself afraid of taking a risk, list all the negative consequences that could follow. That really helps. Because when you see the consequences of you not taking a risk, it becomes a priority for you to work through that risk and do whatever it is that you need to do. So would you still be happy if you didn't take the risk? Would you be happy if you took the risk? You can always start over again and again after you try and fail. And that's the beauty about life. When you are alive and you're healthy, you can always start over. You can always start over. Number four, tell others about your fears. It's always interesting because if you don't start it, everybody else will think that you're strong. There's nothing wrong with you. And I find that whenever I start a conversation about my fears, everybody else comes out of the woodwork and they start talking about theirs. And I go, oh, I thought I was the only one. So acknowledging my own fears can, you know, usually allow other people to talk about theirs, but it also helps me to acknowledge my own fears, knowing that other people are also feeling them and they can talk to me about them and I can talk to them about it. So it deflates the power of the fears. Another person can look at my fears with a new perspective and say, you know what? I didn't acknowledge mine, but because you just told me about this, I find my strength to face mine, and I can do the same thing, get my power from them. So tell others about your fears. And when you do, it's almost like, you know, you're letting, you know, the secret out, that the fear was, you know, just residing in you, in your heart, in your soul, and not allowing you to make decisions because you were afraid that if I make the decisions, if I do this and this might happen. But once you start talking to other people about the fears, they become very small and irrelevant, as I said. Number five, don't get comfortable. So many people get used to a particular job. They get used to a particular lifestyle. They get used to a particular relationship that's not even working, that they're not happy about. They avoid trying anything new because they feel safe in that current situation. The reality is that nothing is completely safe. Nothing. That comfortable relationship you have could end, and your safety with the job could end. You could be laid off. There could be a downsize. I mean, the company could, you know, go bankrupt. It can end. So being comfortable in your current situation is not a reason to avoid your fears. You really, truly need to face that fear of leaving where you're not comfortable, where you know that this here is not something that I want. I remember, you know, in my first book, I wrote my first book, Beyond the Tears, Bruised But Not Broken, where I wrote about polygamy and my life in Zimbabwe, where I come from. And I remember talking to my mother and, you know, talking to her about her marriage. And she was talking about how at some point she made a decision that she was now going to stay with my father for her children, just to take care of us and to make sure that we're okay. And being an adult myself now, I find myself questioning that, to say, why would you stay for someone? But it was for your children, and yet you were not happy and things were not working out. And I asked those questions, and her answers were from the heart, that she was a person that came in the marriage and did not want to be the one that leave the marriage. And she was afraid as well because she didn't know how to take care of herself and where she would start. And now I could see what the bigger picture of those fears were. But you know what? To give her more credit, I have not seen anyone who has had and had the courage to go beyond her fears and done things that she never thought she would be able to do. And that was to take care of herself and to finally live so that she can be in her own spirit and her own soul and to live the life for her. But we were grown by the time that she did that. So I say that to say, don't settle for comfortable or average. Push yourself to reach your full potential in whatever it is that you do. Don't get comfortable. When you get comfortable, you know. Your soul speaks to you. You're not comfortable as you think you are because you know that you're the first one to complain about it. You're the first one to say, I wish I could do better, or I know I can do better. So number six is face your fears. Take every chance that you get to take your life to the next level by seizing the chance to face your fear. Even if you feel the fear and notice that you must do the things that you're afraid of, hey, start with the smaller things. You don't have to chew the whole meal. You can do nice little bites, and with that, you'll get to eat the whole meal. So start with the small bites and then gradually build up your courage to face the bigger fears that you have. So you don't have to quit your whole, you know, the job now. Start to think about, if you were to leave that job that's making you miserable, what other work would you do? Do you need to go back to school to get trained for that new job that you would want to do? Do you need to take maybe a training instead of, going back to college for that? Do you need to talk to someone? Do you need to start interviewing for other jobs to see what else you could enjoy doing? Do you need to explore maybe starting your own business? So you have to prepare yourself. And those are some of the small steps that even if you take that step of just thinking and going out and, you know, redoing your resume, if it's about work or, start to inquire about classes, that's a small step towards overcoming your fear. So as we are talking about this, I also want to make sure that you do not undermine or maybe minimize the intensity of phobias, because we have fears and then we have phobias, which phobias, you know, people with phobias, they actually go to the extreme strengths of avoiding their problems. And this is something that is deeper that needs to have you go and talk to a professional. And I would ask, if it's me, that you come into the office and we talk more about it. So I don't want to undermine or minimize the people that have extreme phobias, which is a severe fear of doing things, of change, of taking risks, taking chances, leaving. It is to an extreme that you just don't want to make drastic changes that will not serve you. There's treatment that we discuss and work with people that have severe phobias. So I would like to make sure that I mention that, so that if you are experiencing that, then please, you know, consult a professional so that they can diagnose or talk to you more about facing those fears and also getting treatment for that. The number 7 way that I can encourage you to do is to create a vision board. I've created vision boards probably for the last 10, 15 years. I've been in the United States now for 30 years, but I think about halfway through when I was living here, that's when I realized and learned about vision boards. And I started cutting pictures, pasting on them, and putting together a business plan, family plan, you know, a success plan, and put all that together on different vision boards. And now I even tend to, every year, I'll, you know, get something and add on to something, or create a whole totally new vision board depending on, you know, what it is that I'm envisioning. So it's actually an exciting exercise or pastime that you can do with family, and buy some poster boards and magazines, and then you create a vision board where there are pictures or drawings or writings of what your future looks like, or what this goal looks like that you want to achieve in 2017. What do you want to see, at the end of 2017 happen to you? I saw Florida. I saw myself having moved to Orlando, Florida, and having started my business here. I also saw myself being on radio, syndicated radio station, doing the Dr. Stem show. I saw this, and now it's not surprising that I ended up on one of the number one podcast, radio America Out Loud. It wasn't a surprise that I walked into it, because I saw it a year before that I was going to get in with a radio station, and one that was going to be worldwide. So create a vision board. Tell yourself a new story is number 8. We all have stories, and most of these stories have not served us well. If you're at a point in your life where things haven't worked out the way that you wanted them to work, it's because of the story that you're telling yourself? Have you tried things and they didn't work out? And people have said some things that hurt your feelings and maybe discouraged you from doing the things that you wanted to do. Change that story. Change the story of what happened when you were growing up. Was there something that happened to you that you said, you know, I continuously think of what happened to me, and for some reason, I didn't think that at this age, at this phase of my life, that this would affect me. I'll tell you one quick story that I actually spoke about at a women's conference that I just spoke to in Ohio last month. I was in high school, and I was friends with four other girls, and the five of us used to walk together to walk home after school every day. And one day, I kid you not, one day I was running out of class and the four of them had started walking out, you know, to go to the gate to get out of the schoolyard. And I was running after them so we could walk together. And they looked back at me and said, "We don't want to walk with you today." And I could see myself as I was relaying this story, as I'm telling you today, I stood there and go, "What did I do?" And I said it to myself, but I also said it out loud. "What did I do?" And they said, "We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to walk with you." And I started walking. You can see me sheepishly walking out there now, wondering, what did I say? What did I do? What happened? And tears just started streaming down my face. And I didn't know what I did. I didn't know why I wasn't good enough to walk with them anymore. I didn't know what it is that I could do to be good enough to join them again for that moment, so that I could run and everything could be okay and we could run and you know, walk together to walk home. That moment came to me at one time when I was trying to work with some co-workers, and they decided, I mean, at that time, I think I was 40 years old or something, and they decided, well, you know, they were going to sit at another table and spread out where there was no room for me to sit, and yet we had been sitting together. And for some reason, all of a sudden, it flashed back, high school, like, oh my God, I don't believe this is happening to me again. But by me acknowledging it and realizing and recognizing it, that I don't need to be sitting with them if they don't want to sit with me, and I can still have my food and eat at a table. And I walked home, and you know, when I was young, and I can still walk on my own now. Sometimes there's a power that you have within you that just exudes to other people and it scares them. And you have no idea what that light is that is passing through you. And I tell you, when you look back, what is it in your life that happened to you that might be a story that you need to change that story, that you need to tell yourself something new? Number 9 is surround yourself with love and laughter. People that make you happy, people that make you laugh, people that allow you to be yourself, or that you can allow yourself to be yourself. Number 10, believe in yourself. This is one of the most important ones. Believe in yourself. To thyself be true. Learn to recognize when your self-talk takes a turn for the worst. When you hear yourself saying, "I can't, I don't know how to do this, what if," then put that as a red flag. Because instead of telling yourself, "I can't do X, I can't do that," then just tell yourself that, "I can't do that yet." If you need to learn about it, if you need to read about it, then certainly do so, rather than just X yourself out of it or stop yourself from doing it. Learn more, do more, and allow yourself to do the things that you do well, and do them really well, and give yourself credit for what's possible and what it is that you're good at. Believe in what's possible is number 11. To live a life of high achievement or successful life, like most people dream of or talk about wanting, you must fully believe in yourself and your ability to get more and to get what's possible for you. You can gain momentum to keep going. If you have that belief that, you know what, if it's possible for somebody else, then it's possible for me. Because then when you can see that big picture of what it is that you want and it becomes attainable, achievable, then guess what? The steps to get there are more exciting. And guess what? It's also possible for you to achieve it. When you can see it, believe it, then you can achieve it. Number 12, take risks with no regrets. When you take a risk, I mean, I'm a risk taker, I'm telling you. Anybody that knows me, they can keep track of me. I will take risks. I mean, they are calculated risks. They're not just risks that put me at risk, which is in danger or, you know, I mean, losing money. No, I take calculated risks. What are calculated risks? I educate myself, I research, and then I make a move. But I'm well informed. They are well informed risks that, you know, that I take. Well, why do I do that? Because they didn't lie when they said no risk, no rewards. And I want rewards in my life. So, of course, I'm going to push myself, you know, to the limits and take risks in my life, in my business, in my career. I always try to push myself to do more, to learn more, so that I can achieve more. Has that served me well? I think so. I haven't stopped yet. But I think every time that I do that, I'm growing. And I always surprise myself too as to what I know. But I know a lot only because I am one that is fearless when it comes to taking risks and learning what I need to learn.
You are tuned in to the Dr. Stem Show. To reach Dr. Stem or her guest, please email us at drstem@americaoutloud.com. Now, back to Dr. Stem for more support, confidence, and hope.
Number 13, expect and focus more on your win-wins. There are things that you do well that you have achieved in life. Focus on those and rejoice in those so that you can gain more momentum to get the things that you haven't gotten yet, but that you want to have in your life. By celebrating those small wins, it also gives you the courage, you know, the excitement, the joy of knowing that it's possible when you put your mind to whatever it is that you want to achieve. Number 14, seek to have peace at all times. That is that quietness. A peaceful mind generates power. See, now with all these phones and the electronics and everything, it's so difficult for people to have that quiet moment, that peaceful time. So never underestimate the power of a peaceful mind, because a peaceful mind helps you pay less attention to the internal chatter that goes on in our minds. The thinking, the stuff that, you know, I mean, is constantly vibrating in your mind. It gets to quiet all that down, because peace itself is a vibration of stillness. That's the quieting of the mind. It brings us to a place of, you know, ultimate calmness of the heart, of the soul, of the body. The place where love, joy, creation, you create more when you're in that quiet moment. So wake up to that and see what happens. Try seeking peace for this 2017. Do things that will quiet your mind. I haven't done yoga before. And guess what? I just registered myself to start yoga this 2017. How about meditation? I meditate every morning and night. Do you meditate? Try that, because it does quieten your mind, and you have to seek that if you are to achieve it. Number 15, play more. Did I say play? Find time for play. Because to live a balanced life, play is needed and it is necessary. Play is easy for children. You know, children play all the time, but for some reason, it's so hard for adults to go and play because I guess we're doing the adult things, you know, feeding the family, working, and, you know, pursuing success. But then all that is nothing when you don't have that joy and that playfulness in you. So when was the last time that you just became playfulness and just put your guard down and just laugh and just do silly stuff, you know? Part of my play is playing music. I play gospel music. So I have a podcast also that I have. It's called Dr. Stem Be Encouraged, where I play gospel music. So that's another podcast where I just put on my headphones and I mix up some gospel music, dance gospel music, reggae gospel music, but just something that just excites me. I get goofy when I'm dancing and, you know, talking to people there about just having the vibration of music in your life. What is it that you like to do, you know, for play? What do you enjoy doing? I love dancing. You know, that's one of the things that I do. So number 16, practice gratitude to educate yourself on what gratitude brings to you is one priceless thing that you might want to research, because when you're grateful, for some reason, a lot of things begin to make sense in your life. You achieve more, you become more, you do more. So take moments to be grateful for what you have and what it is that you intend and wish to have this 2017 and beyond. When it comes to gratitude, right, there's actually research that has been done. And, you know, I remember some research that I read years ago. I think it was Seligman, that said people who keep gratitude journals have been found to be healthier, that, you know, they're also happier and they have more fun. Even their finances are well established in their finances, only because they are grateful and they take time to do that. I also think it's in correlation with that peacefulness that we were talking about, that when you're grateful, you are peaceful and your mind is at peace. Number 17, live, laugh, and learn out loud. The three L's: live, learn, and laugh a lot. We talk about living out loud. I say that. But you know what? Live every moment as if it's your last. Laugh every moment and every chance that you get. And love as if you've never been hurt. I've given you a mouthful, a whole mouthful. So the 17 things again to combat your feelings, I'll just say them real quick. Be aware of your fears. Validate your fears. Correspond with your fears. Tell others about your fears. Don't get comfortable. Face your fears. Create a vision board. Tell yourself a new story. Surround yourself with love. Believe in yourself. Believe in what's possible. Take risks with no regrets. Expect and focus more on your win-wins. Seek peace at all times. Play some more. Practice gratitude for everything and everyone around you. Live, laugh, and learn out loud. Out with the old, in with the new. A new year, a new you. So, to end this podcast and to end this 2016, I urge you to make peace with your past, because guess what? You won't need it for your present. What other people think of you is none of your business, so let that go. Time heals almost everything. So for every pain that you've experienced this year, give it time. No one is in charge of your happiness except you. Don't compare your life to others. Don't judge other people, because you have no idea what their journey is all about, what their pain is all about, what their fears or what they're going through. Stop thinking too much. It's all right not to know all the answers. They'll come to you, and sometimes they don't. Smile more often, Because guess what? You don't own all the problems in the world, and 2017 and beyond will be yours to celebrate if your desires to make the changes to overcome your fears are greater than the fear themselves. This is Dr. Stem from the Dr. Stem Show. I say be encouraged and encouraging.